Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm the cool dad. That's my thing. I'm hip. I surf the web. I text. LOL. Laugh out loud. OMG. Oh my God. WTF. Why the face? You know, I know all the dances to High School Musical, so.
We're all in this together. Yes, we are. We're all stars. That means something, you know it.
Yeah, the cool dad, self-declared for Modern Family. Now science writer Paul Raeburn on his new book, Do Fathers Matter? Some of you know Paul as a contributor to Science Friday. He has also been an AP and Business Week science editor and is currently chief media critic for the Knight Science Journalism Tracker at MIT. The book's full title is Do Fathers Matter? What Science is Telling Us About the Parent We've Overlooked. Hi, Paul. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Great to be here.
Do fathers matter? Why does a sophisticated science writer like you pose this as a yes or no question?
Thanks for the compliment. I think the answer is yes. So we'll get that out of the way for starters. The reason I put it that way is because that's basically the question I had going in. Yes, on a certain level, we all know fathers matter. But I wanted to dig a little deeper and say, okay, you know, what do we really know? We all carry around in our heads all kinds of myths and ideas about fathers and fatherhood and discipline and whatever it might be. But what do we really know? I mean, that's kind of what I've done as a journalist, you know, is to try to separate the myth from the reality.
So let's dive in on one example where at least one study indicates that fathers begin to have an impact on their kids' development even before they're born, while they're still in the womb. How is this possible?
So, well, a couple of things to flesh that out. If fathers become depressed, suffer from depression during their partner's pregnancy, those kids are at higher risk of depression their whole lives. Mysterious, it seems. Probably what's happening is the father's behavior is affecting the mother. There are other aspects to this.
They're also both carrying genes for prone to depression.
Right. So you can do research to tease that out. So if a father is depressed before he has a child or after or something, then you can look, see the genetic risk. But there's an additional risk if it happens during a partner's pregnancy. Another thing that happens that's interesting to show the bond is that, you know, our hormonal systems are like fundamental primal biological systems. So a father's hormonal system completely changes during his partner's pregnancy. His testosterone drops, oxytocin rises. Prolactin, which is associated with nursing in mothers, rises in men. And we think what's happening, scientists think that
men become hormonally more female. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in a sense, I mean, nobody puts it that way. But the testosterone falls, things like prolactin, estrogen rise. And the idea is, so that's the science. We know that. The speculation is that it's preparing men to be more nurturing and to be fathers. And really, it's not surprising that we would have evolved a way to change. You know, the first job is to compete for a mate, you know, as a biological animal.
More testosterone.
More testosterone. And then when it's time, you know, to reproduce, things change to prepare men for fatherhood.
That's why there's no sex in marriage after childbirth. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
You referred to lots of new research in the last 10 years. Is fatherhood research an emerging field?
It is indeed an emerging field. And I think what happened is that it's the peculiar history of psychology in the 20th century. There was this huge figure named John Bowlby in the early to mid 20th century, British psychologist, who developed what's called the attachment theory. And the idea was that mothers and childs attach and bond in the first days and weeks of life, and that was critically important to a child's healthy development. Now, you might notice there's no mention of father in the attachment theory, and that became so influential and so widely accepted that nobody questioned fathers. You know, we even scientists who we hope are rational and looking at the facts get in a mindset. And it wasn't until the 1970s, you know, one of the bits of research I think we all know is that fathers play differently and that that's important with kids. You know, they're more rambunctious, rough and tumble, et cetera. Somebody had to go find that out. And that was not till the late 1970s.
Ask any mother who has spent the hours from 3 to 6 trying to settle the kids down so they do their homework.
Right.
And then the father bursts through the door and, daddy's home, and winds them all up.
Exactly, right. Especially appreciate it right before bedtime as well. So, yeah, that's right.
You're listening to WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, New York and New Jersey Public Radio at 11 o'clock as we talk to Paul Raeburn, science writer and author of Do Fathers Matter? What Science is Telling Us About the Parent We've Overlooked. And listeners, if you want to get in on this at any level, dads, single men, women, mothers, anybody, 212, kids, 212-433.
We'll take all comers.
Anybody who is a father, ever might be one or ever had one, even biologically, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Another thing about play, the biological, you measured primates. I'm looking for this study because you reminded me of it. You studied primates, or you looked at studies of primates, like by William Redican at the UC Davis Primate Research Center, which found that there was a surprising amount of play that emerged between monkey dads and their infants as these monkey dads were being trained by humans to feed their children.
Right. So what happened? So monkey dads don't pay much attention to their kids, okay? In some species, they control the troop, you know, in a broader sense, but not their own. They're bad fathers. So what Redican did was take mothers away from newborns and fathers. What happened was they fed the children manually. Obviously, the one thing the father could not do was nurse the children. But other than that, it turned out that the monkey fathers became very much like the mothers. They just adapted. In the absence of mothers, they took over many of the things that mothers do. This was completely unexpected. The idea was they were hardwired to behave differently. And the wiring wasn't so hard, as it turned out. It was really interesting lesson that creatures are much more adaptable, and you know, in a way, it speaks against all these myths we have about fathers' ineptitude and incompetence.
So the press release with your book has a talking points fact sheet, and some of these are pretty good. So I'm just going to go down some of these that
sure.
came with the book, and get your quick takes. Okay, fathers are disappearing. Fewer American fathers are participating in the lives of their children now than at any time. So for you as a science writer, is there an evolutionary science of that?
Well, this is a social thing. It doesn't have to be true. It, depending on what study you look at, between a third and a half of divorced fathers, so as many as a half, never or almost never see their children. I think that's staggering and incredibly sad. We knew there were some of those, but there are a lot of those. And that's not, you know, that's not a biological thing. That's a social thing. That's something we could fix.
And in fact, we did a segment last week on the declining marriage rates and married parenting rates among poor and working class Americans, having a lot to do with the greater difficulty these days than in the factory job era for men without college degrees to earn a middle class income that's considered good enough to support a child or that women would want to marry them. Have you seen research on that? Does income affect father behavior more than mother behavior?
Well, I haven't looked at income in that sense, but I certainly looked at the changes in American families since the 1960s, say. So, you know, one of the reasons we kind of presumed that mothers were better at things was because mothers were home all day and had lots of practice, and fathers were away working all day and had a lot less practice taking care of the kids and spending time with the kids. That has so transformed now with many more mothers working. I think I just saw statistics yesterday at 45% of couples, both parents work. You know, so many more mothers are working. We're involved in complicated childcare arrangements. We pass the kids back and forth. And in a lot of families, that creates an opportunity for fathers to spend more time with the kids. And that's a good thing.
Another one from your fact sheet. A Swedish study showed that the grandchildren of men who had plenty to eat do not live as long as those whose grandfathers had gone hungry. Why would that be?
Well, it's hard to know why, but it's one of those things that I use to show the incredible importance of fathers and these primary biological links. Remote little town in Sweden, and they had records of, you know, the king's delivery of grain and things from 100 years ago. And in fact, at a certain point, the grandfather's health and diet affected the health of his grandchildren, which is quite incredible. It's not supposed to happen that way, but there it was.
One more before we go to the phones. In a study of finches, females invest more in their offspring when they have a more desirable mate. What is a desirable mate to a female finch?
Well, it probably coloration, but what the researchers discovered was that if they put a colored leg band on the males, the females would see that as an attractive male. So again, you might think that women would make conscious decisions about men's income, and they surely do. But here we see a biological thing, you know, something about males that's attractive, and the female presumably is seeing this attractive mate as a healthy partner who would have healthy offspring. That's the way biology works.
Chris in Glen Ridge, you're on WNYC with science writer Paul Rayburn, author of Do Fathers Matter? What Science is Telling Us About the Parent We've Overlooked. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So I was a full-time stay-at-home dad for my son, who's now 7. And I was curious, has there been any study of any kind of difference between kids who are raised primarily by dads versus primarily by moms?
Not too much, because the idea of single father families and stay-at-home dads is pretty new. I was at a White House conference yesterday on working fathers, and one of the statistics, I think, was that there are now about 7% of families with stay-at-home dads. So, you know, people are looking at that. People are very interested in that question. We just don't know too much about it yet.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Angela in Passaic, you're on WNYC. Hi, Angela.
Good morning. I just have a question in regard to the impact, the psychological impact of fathers in the lives of children. And is there any research that kind of explains the impact that fathers have? And why do you think that it's something that we don't really speak to in terms of society when we have such an influx of single parents and a reduction in co-parenting?
Well, the book is full of all kinds of things that fathers contribute to their kids. I think, educational things, social things, too many to kind of go through right now. But I think, the important take-home message on that is that fathers and mothers do things differently, and that's okay. Ideally, you want both of those components to be involved. In our complicated lives, where a lot of families are different and don't have both parents involved, then it's still good to know what fathers contribute and what mothers contribute so that those families can compensate for that and make sure the kids are getting what they need.
So what's an example of that? If someone is a single mother and wants to compensate for some of the things that, statistically at least, her child is not likely to get if there's no father in the picture, what might some of that stuff be?
Well, a single mother at the kids' elementary school asked me just that question just the other day. She says, what should I do? And there is actually one answer to that, which is a good answer if you can do it, and that is involve a male figure in the family. If you have a brother or some other family member, a male who's around, arrange for that person to get to know the kids, spend time with the kids. If you have a close friend, a neighbor, anybody, it's important for it doesn't have to be the biological father.
But what is it? Is it roughhousing? Is it teaching them basketball? I mean, what are we talking about here, really?
Not things like teaching basketball is fine, but that's not the kind of thing we're talking about here. We're talking about the play, the interaction, social adjustment, the different sort of parenting style of fathers to be, to be less. Mothers tend to tune themselves a little bit more to where kids are at and their needs. Fathers tend to pull the kids to where they are. It stretches kids. They develop more. We didn't talk about language yet, I don't think.
No.
Studies have shown very interesting that children's language ability when they're three or four is closely related to father's involvement and engagement. So mothers tend to adjust their language to kids. Fathers tend to use bigger vocabulary and not make such an adjustment, and it pulls the kids along. That leads to a smoother transition to school, better work in school, fewer behavioral problems in school. It sets off a whole cascade. So a father figure can do that if the biological father isn't around.
Rennie in Massapequa, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rennie.
Hello.
Hi. You're
hi,
on the
good
air.
Good afternoon. Hi. I'm the recent mother of my wife and I are of a baby daughter. And I'm calling just, I was interested in hearing the feedback on a same-sex couple study versus what your guest currently is talking about in regards to a father and mother proper kind of study, if you will.
So this was a question I was really interested in when I started the book, and it was just something I didn't get to. But I did talk to a few gay and lesbian couples, so this is not so much in the book, but what was interesting to me was that, you know, men and women tend to divide things up in roles that are what we think of as the stereotypical roles for mothers and fathers. Not always, and it's changing, but they do set into certain patterns. I found that with same-sex marriages, those patterns don't really apply. And so people invent what it means to be a mother in a lesbian marriage, or a father in a gay marriage, and so it's a completely different thing. So I think it's interesting. I think we're going to learn a lot from families like yours about, you know, what the rest of us are doing we haven't been aware of.
And Rennie, some anecdotal evidence, and I guess you don't have much yet since you just have a new baby, but have you thought about whether, as a rule, the other lesbian couples you know raising children might have different parenting styles even between them as, you know, as a couple than two gay male parents raising children? Have you thought about that at all or watched anybody you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think the cool thing about being a part of the same-sex kind of trailblazing situation is that we really don't have to apply any rule. So we kind of take what we feel like are our best solutions for our child and meld them together. Not necessarily one way or the other, but it's just truly what works for our family. So
you're missing out on the struggle against all these terribly constraining stereotypes.
I know. It's fun that way, though. But thank you for your feedback, and thank you, Brian.
Rennie, thank you very much. I mean, in theory, from what you've said so far, Paul, and by the way, Rennie backs up and you back up in the literature review what I've heard many times, which is because there are no role model or gender model expectations in a same-sex couple, they invent their own, and they're very different from couple to couple, more so than among heterosexual couples. But if what you say, all this biologically and evolutionarily determined stuff about male-female differences, father-mother differences are true, then gay male couples should wind up parenting fairly differently from lesbian couples. Two men versus two women.
Yeah, well, I
just
I think
as
that
gay male couples tend to be much more promiscuous outside of marriage than lesbian couples for some of the same evolutionary reasons.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I don't know of any research yet. There probably is some, but I didn't come across any that looks at those kinds of questions. And again, you know, it couldn't happen until there were enough of those families to be able to find some to study and so forth. But we should say, I think, in this context, there is a lot of research now that shows that children in gay and lesbian marriages grow up just fine. And not everybody's ready to accept that. As we know, it's a complicated world. But that's what the science is showing.
Amy in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Hi. Well, first I have to ask about the father getting home after the mother's tried to settle the kids down. Now we have stay-at-home fathers who are spending more time with kids. So I really don't think it's a difference between who is getting home. I could see if the mother's getting home from work, it's a stimulus and would have the same effect on the children.
If anybody's coming home from work, yeah.
Yeah, just somebody coming to the door. But
or they have different styles of coming in the door. I don't know if we know that. But Amy, go ahead.
Exciting to the child, I'm sure. I'm sorry, I got off track.
You were going to talk about hormonal changes.
Oh yeah, thanks. Yes, I mean there are certainly cases where the father, you know, isn't with the family. He doesn't even maybe know that the mother is pregnant. There are cases where a father is maybe stationed overseas and knows, but isn't there, but is hearing about the progress of the pregnancy, and knows it's happening. I would be kind of surprised, certainly in the first case, if the
testosterone
is happening to the father.
Right. If the testosterone levels go down, as you were saying before,
right.
If the father maybe doesn't even know that he got somebody pregnant.
Well,
presumably
not. I think in both the cases that she mentions, if the father's deployed overseas and isn't around, he's not going to experience those changes. That's true. Some of those will happen later when he comes home or if the father reappears. But, yeah, that's one of the problems with being separated.
You do get into some policy recommendations, but is your book in the end an exploration of the science literature on fathers for pure intellectual curiosity on your part, or is there an advice book hidden in these pages?
Well, I tried not to make it an advice book. Here's what I tried to do. And I also think it's not just out of intellectual curiosity. The thing is, raising kids and taking care of our kids is the most important thing we do. I think many of us would agree. So if we're going to do that, we need to know what the facts are about what's important for the kids. I felt there'd been a lot of studies on mothers. I wanted to look at what we really know about fathers. Of course, because I was curious and interested as a father, I have a vested interest here. But also because if we want to have a discussion, we need to know what the facts are. So what I try to do is present the facts. Here are all the things we know about fathers, really interesting things. Now that we know those, let's have a slightly more elevated conversation about what we ought to do, because now we know what the reality is.
And you do get into some policy recommendations. For example, you write that the unfolding research on how fathers matter hasn't had much of an impact on the courts. Why
That's
the courts?
Right. Well, the courts, because it's so – I was so stunned, I think, by how many fathers lose contact with their kids after divorce. This information has not reached the public. It hasn't reached you and me. It's in journals that only the people who do this research look at. So the public isn't aware of it. And how are the family courts going to be aware of this? You know, they have meetings where they go to seminars and learn things, but it's going to be a slow process for this new understanding of fathers to make it to the family courts. It's easy for a family court judge to say 1 weekend a month is enough or 2 weekends a month or something, because the judge doesn't know what's important about having the father around.
Could some of the research you cite be motivated by or used by people with conservative political agendas to denigrate single motherhood in the absence of marriageable dads?
How it could be used is anybody.
If you're making a case that fathers matter.
Right.
And
so
there's a lot of science that backs up that fathers matter a lot.
Right.
There are political implications.
There are absolutely political implications. And again, I tried to go with the just the facts, ma'am, approach here, you know, just say what we know. I think people will use that information in a lot of ways. I have had some interest from conservative groups, and I hope that they will appreciate the fact that, you know, fathers make unique and important contributions, but that doesn't mean that a single mother is doing something awful or that she can't raise successful children. The names Bill Clinton and Barack Obama come to mind as people reasonably successful in their careers who were raised by single mothers.
The title of the book, Do Fathers Matter? What Science is Telling Us About the Parent We've Overlooked, by science writer Paul Raeburn, who these days is the chief media critic for the Knight Science Journalism Tracker at MIT. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, the biggest gang raid in NYPD history, at least that's what the department is calling it, but why some of the law-abiding residents of some West Side housing projects where these raids took place are conflicted about it. Stay with us.